family, and please remember also Brother Al and his family. He's just not feeling up to par and snuff, and he just, with the sickness that's already been faced with some of the family here, we don't want to carry that around to each other. So if you're sick, where I'm asking, and I guess the pastor's already asked, you can see the sign on the thing, or you're not feeling well, please keep your mask on. Not that we're making you, but we are asking you in the spirit of fellowship and kindness that you be mindful of those that are weaker among us. And that's why that we're wearing masks. If you see us wearing masks, of course, I don't have one on right now at this particular moment because I'm speaking, and it's rather hard for me to speak through a muffle. So God bless you. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity, O God, and to stand and to deliver your word. But God, there are those that want to be here that cannot be here because of sickness or ill health or whatever the case may be. However it is, O God, that they could not come, show us that we may bring them to the house of the Lord, that we could fellowship together with them. But God, we're asking that you send your angels forth to Brother Al and his family, that you touch them this day with your word and your Holy Spirit. Walk among them and correct the sicknesses and drive them far from them. I pray also, God, for peace and security, Lord, upon the Davis family. This is something that you're doing a miraculous thing, and you know exactly what you're doing to purify and what it's going to take, God, to make us all to be more like you for this end time revival that definitely is coming. I know, God, that you're coming back soon, and we're asking, God, that you keep us prepared, watching and ready and waiting, God. We are expecting great things from you, from your spirit, and your loving kindness. And we ask these things, Jesus, in your lovely name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I've gotten what I believe God has given me this morning. I would like to share it with you. It is exciting to me, Sister Davis, to be able to talk about, you might say your Jesus, but I'm saying my Jesus. Because when you got a personal relationship with the God of all creation, he is yours, not anybody else. I got my little granddaughter, and she says, my Papa Eddie. My Papa Eddie. And she might call somebody else, but she calls me her Papa Eddie. And I don't know nobody else as Papa Eddie to that little girl. And God don't know nobody else but your name when you call him Daddy Daddy. Daddy Jesus. And he says, yeah, kiddo, what you need? I'm thankful to be able to talk and to share some things that you God's given me. And it is a privilege to be able to handle and to use the word of God and to give us of the bread of life. Because when you read that word, if you are not reading the word, you're missing out. What are you missing out on? You're missing out on the blessing, but you're missing out on the bread of life. Because every day, I say every day. Everybody say every day. He wants you to eat freely of a specific diet that he has laid out for you. Now, you can eat well. We recommend that. Your doctor recommends it. You can eat all this earthly food, and he recommends you don't eat some things. Well, same with Christ. But he wants to give you what he wants to supply you. And today, I think that we are in for a wonderful surprise in the Holy Ghost. As I open up the word here, I'm going to open it from a different angle, maybe from what you're used to. But I want God to speak to each and every one of you your way. Now, the person sitting next to you is not going to hear it just like you hear it, though it's the same word. Because the Spirit is going to rightly divide the truth and give them what they need and you what you need. And we're all going to grow in the grace and the mercy of God. The story that I'm going to bring to you today started in Genesis, but even before Genesis, before anything was made, shaped, or formed, God was, is, and shall always be Spirit, God. He breathed, he made a way and created. And in that creation stepped forth mankind. And so the saga goes that you all are very familiar with. And I'm not going to go into all of that. But to say that he gives you that Bible, if you've got one today, the bread of life. For you to be a partakers of him in a special way that is unique only to you and him. You're going to read it and see things that no one else shows you. And some of it you're not going to understand because he's a great big God. Even one of the writers wrote about Apostle Paul. He said some deep things. Paul wrote some deep things that were hard to understand. Well, God has written some very deeper things that we may never quite comprehend until we get up there and he reveal it to us and show us. But all in all, it's all through love and comes to you through the mercy and grace as he has done what he has done upon the face of this earth. If you'd got your Bibles and you'd like to turn with me, I'd ask you to stand just for these particular portions. I'm going to probably be reading quite a bit of scripture to you this morning. But I would like for you to turn with me to Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Hallelujah. This is the God that I speak about, the God that's in full control, that knows the beginning and the end, that stepped his human form down from heaven to earth, that delivers mankind from his sin, and wants to show you, whoever you may be, if you think you're a Christian, he wants to make you a better Christian. If you are an outright sinner, he wants to reveal himself to you to help you experience life in a more joyous, expectant way. If you are someone who is riding the fence and you don't know whether there's a God or not, I hope this message opens your eyes, your heart, and your understanding so that you can understand and know that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. And happy you shall be if you find him. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Everybody say, none like me. You're talking about your creator. There is none above, beneath, around, or anywhere else that can compare when it comes to a comparison. He has no rival and he has no foe because nobody can stand against him. He is God and God alone. He stands secure in that standing and he uses Satan as his pawn. Yes, his pawn to do his will. And you think, oh, Satan, he does his will. No, no, no. He can only do what God allows him to do. He is in controlled by God. And he is not doing anything to you that God is not allowing to happen. And he has not done anything in your past. We've made some unwise choices, each of us. But God is always in control and is trying to reveal himself to you to get you out of your messes, or the messes of where you have stepped and you shouldn't have stepped, or got ensnared when you shouldn't have gotten ensnared. He says in verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures. That sounds like somebody who has a little bit of authority and who has a little bit of control. Nothing in this earth is out of the control of God. It is all in his hands. He is allowing things to transpire and take place. And that is how it is happening. And you think, well, where is God when this happens? Well, he wasn't very far from the situation, and he knew. He spoke to the raging sea, and it laid down and became still. He spoke to the winds, and they were obedient to him. He can do the same today, but sometimes he remains silent and lets men go through some things so they will recognize that he is God. And they will humble themselves and accept that he knows best for them in all things. Isaiah 44, and I'm going to read this. Thus saith the Lord that made and formed thee from thy womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jerusalem, whom I have chosen. For I will pour upon him that is thirsty floods, and the dry ground will I pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. It sounds to me like he knows what he's doing. He is going to save your loved ones. He is going to heal the sick ones that you pray for. If you're a child of his, he is going to do his good pleasure, and he's going to see it done his way. Now, his way is not always the way you think in your carnal mind that it should be. Everybody said he's coming riding on a white steed when he comes into Jerusalem. He did not come on a white steed. Everybody said he's going to drive out the Romans before him. And we're going to be the ones that are the apple of his eye, talking about the people of Judaism. And we're going to rule the earth, and we're going to have our king. He said, no, I'm not doing it that way. I'm coming in the back door as riding upon a donkey. I'm coming in lowly and riding upon the ass as he makes his entry into Jerusalem. But he said, I'm coming. Remember, I'm coming. And he did. He came into Jerusalem. And what did all Jerusalem do? Against the will of the people in the temple, against all those that set their mind, naysayers that said it couldn't be done, when he came in, they began to throw their coats down and say, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Why did they do that? Because it was written the fourth time that he was coming. It was written he was going to do exactly that, and it happened exactly as it was said. And it said if it would not have happened, the very rocks would have cried out, because that was his time. This is your time, whoever you are, whether you're lost, whether you think you're found, but this is your time to shine as a child of God on the face of this earth. This is your time to make a difference. It is your time to speak out for him and not hold silent. It is your time, and it is not the devil's time. He thinks that because of all this chaos that he is trying to cause upon the people who do not believe, and because he has some of them in his grasp, that he's in control. But God said, no, I give the control to my children. I delivered the gifts unto them to set the captive free, to raise the dead, to heal the blind eyes, and to heal the sick. I, the Lord, have given it to my church. That's what the keys to the kingdom was when he rose from the dead. I'm getting ahead of myself here. I got to shut up. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you. I will pour water upon him as thirsty and floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourse. One shall say that I am the Lord's, another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. Another shall subscribe with him the hand unto the Lord that surnamed himself by the name of Israel. I'm telling you, he is Lord. Whether you call him the Alpha, whether you call him the Omega, whether you say he's just the beginning or whether you say he's the end, whether as a Muslim you think that he was just a prophet, he is God and God alone, and he stands exalted by himself and will reign and do with his good pleasure, just as you heard in verse 46 of Isaiah. He is going to do according to the plan he has laid out. And nobody and no demon of hell and no man on the face of this earth is going to change it, because he is in control. That's the God that we serve. Heavenly Father, now, O God, bless forth thy word and let your people hear. Let wisdom come, O God, through my mouth, because I am just a lowly individual. But God, I speak with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, your word. Let it come to life and spirit and breathe, O God, supernaturally, that everybody who hears it may know and stand in awe of you. Jesus, we ask in your lovely name, and you may be seated. I'm sorry that I kept you standing for so long. Woo! God is good. As he gave this to me, I could not wait to share. I woke up with a song in my heart and joy in my spirit, because there's no one like God. There's absolutely no one like him. Matter of fact, as you read that, he said, who can stand up and declare? Tell me. Get your soothsayer. Get your palm reader. Get your astrologist. They can't tell you the future. Nah. The future is already written in the mind and the spirit of the Creator. And according to the word, it will be just as he said. And we're going to prove a little bit about that today. There was a time when Solomon reigned on the face of the earth. Solomon was King David's son. God gave him wisdom, supernatural wisdom, because Solomon offered so many sacrifices unto the Lord. It was almost uncountable, without number. He was offering just continually before God. And I imagine these priests were wore out, Sister Davis. I don't know if you have ever butchered anything, but to butcher all that they were bringing of these lambs and these sheep and these bullocks, and having to do it according to specifics, according to the word of God, the birds, and it was just almost probably overwhelming them, because Solomon said, one more. No, we got to have one more. How many of you are saying, God, just one more. Give me one more soul, God. Just give me somebody I can share this gospel with. If you'll wake up with that anticipation in your heart before you go to work, and you tell God, God, thank you for being here. God, I just want to tell one soul today, or maybe even two, or maybe even three. God, let me be a little bit greedy, but I tell you, God, I want to tell somebody about you. Who is it I can share it with? Guess what? He said, whatever you ask in my name, it'll what? He ain't going to do it, right? He will do it. He's going to do as he said he's going to do. He is God and God alone. And when you ask him as his children, if you ask for a loaf of bread from dad or from mom, or you ask for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, what you think? They're going to give you a cup of sardines and say, here, go take it and sit in the corner, and they'll... No. He's going to give you peanut butter and jelly, but not as only going to give you peanut butter and jelly. He's going to give you your favorite jelly. And he's not just going to give you any old peanut butter from the government. He's going to go find that Jiffy or something else that's very, very top of the line, or whatever kind of... He's going to give you the very best. So ask for the best and you'll get the rest. He's going to do as he said he's going to do. The story happens in 1 Kings 10. Unto Solomon, after he has done all this offerings and stuff, and God gave Solomon such wisdom, we're going to pick it up in verse 10. 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 10. I think it is 1 Kings 10. I pray I got it right now. It starts off by saying, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with some hard questions. I'm telling you, church, they're going to be asking you some hard questions. Why do you love Jesus? How do I know that Jesus is God? They're going to try you, and you can be ready in the spirit to give an answer, but you're not going to do it with this. It's not going to happen with your own intellect. It's going to happen because you've been in here aforetime. Now, nobody likes school, but God expects you to be in attendance with him every day in his word. And you can say, but I ain't got time. You ain't got time for the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. How are you going to answer when you stand up there and say, well, I was just too busy. I didn't have time to open the scripture today. I didn't have time to pray. I didn't have time for that one that was lost along the way. All I could think of selfishly was myself. We have to take time to understand what the Spirit says unto the church. And the only way you're going to get it, sometimes it's going to come across the pulpit and he's going to feed you that way. Sometimes it's going to come through a song because you're desiring to worship and he's going to give you it through a song. But in most cases, it's going to come through here and dreams and revelations. That's how God speaks to his people. Sometimes he may talk to you through the nature things, the sky, the sun, the moon, and speak to your heart to get your attention. But he's speaking continually, wanting you to hear him, because he desires a relationship with each of you individually. He said he shaped and formed him in his mother's womb before he got here. You, I was telling them this morning, are the same way. You're created in his image, and before anything happened that you ever got here, the Creator knew a plan that would make something specific for you to fall into that would fulfill his desire and give you the most happiness and the peace on the face of the earth. King Solomon knew about that God. He knew from his daddy David's teaching how to reach God through sacrifice and through worship. And so he worshiped so exceedingly, so abundantly, that God said, guess what? I am pleased with what you have done, Solomon, and I'm going to make you, son, the smartest man that ever was on the face of the earth. Not only that, Solomon, I'm going to bring people unto you. You're going to be so wise. You're going to be a great ruler. People are going to prosper because of the wisdom that you gave out. And we still got his Songs of Solomon. We still got a lot of the Proverbs we were written by David, but that Solomon picks up on, and you still have a man that was wise beyond all measure of understanding. But Queen Sheba caught ear of this particular thing about Solomon. When you begin to live for Jesus, not only are you going to catch the ear of the people around you and be able to give them things from the heart of God because he puts it in you to bring forth, but the Satan is going to know of the fame of the Lord that you spoke on. He's already familiar with God. He was once there beside him. Got kicked out for being disobedient, but he was there. He does not want you to pray. He does not want you to read your scriptures. He just most definitely he does not want you to worship. If you remember, the first thing he took away from Job was his ability to make a sacrifice to God. He took away the cattle. He was trying to separate that from Job, and he will try to separate it from you, bringing calamity or things around you. All you got to do is just give and bring a sacrifice of praise. Yourself, present yourself as a living sacrifice unto God. Why? Because when you do that, he is well pleased. I don't have anything to offer him. I don't have silver. I don't have gold. All of it is his. But I tell you what, I do have a mind, body, and a spirit. And if I present it before him and say, here, God, all that I got is yours. I lay it at your feet, God. Use it for your glory. I give it to you, God, to see the things that you want to have. Guess what? He's going to say, hey, I like that, kiddo. You've done good. And I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about you. Anyone, as we're going to see. Solomon comes to him. Listen to this. And Solomon told her all answered her all her questions, and there was not anything hidden from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba saw all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat at his table and the setting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and the apparel of his cupbearers and his ascent. Now pay attention here, because this is a very important part. His ascent, which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. If you do this thing properly, if they are observing you doing it correctly, there will be no spirit left in them to want to respond. They will want what you got, because it is Jesus Christ, the way unto salvation. They will desire it so much. And Sheba was at that point. She saw that David had taught Solomon how to enter in and how to come out of the house of God. She saw everything about it. She understood the name of Jehovah at that time was the God that had mercy and the God that showed grace. And she probably had heard about the slips and the failures of David. And now Solomon is raised up in his stead. And all of a sudden she was famed, probably already heard about David. But now she's saying there's one wiser than David. One wiser than the wisest of all men has walked the face of this earth, and his name was Jesus Christ. He will give wisdom to anyone who asks of it. He will show divine favor to anybody who will walk in his laws and principles. And Sheba was seeing this, and her spirit went out. Her earthly spirit, she says, I don't want to be like I am no longer. I renounce my past, and I'm stepping into my future, and I want the God of Jehovah to be my God, and I want to walk in the favor of him, and I want to honor him in all of my ways. That's not in the scripture, but that's what that's saying right there. She says, wow, what a God Solomon's got a hold of. That's the God that the Ark of the Covenant, it shows that when the Ark of the Covenant was there, that's that God that when they went and marched, all the walls come down, that when Moses went across the Red Sea, the waters parted. That's the God that I want, and that's what Sheba wanted. Imagine if you get it right, church, the world will want it too. So often though, we do get it wrong. I apologize. And I myself have fallen short and come up short when I should have been standing tall. And I couldn't reach the cookies because the cookie jar was too far up there in holiness. And I was too righteous in my own ways, or unrighteous in my own ways, to get the cookie that God had for me to eat. But if you get it right, he'll give you strength of Samson, and he'll give you the height of Goliath, and you can eat the cookies off the cookie shelf that God's got designed for you to eat. And it won't just be any cookie, it will be your favorite cookie of the Holy Ghost. You know, one might like butterscotch, one might like chocolate chip, one might like peanut butter caramel, it doesn't matter, but God knows what you want. And he knows the desire of your heart. And he wants to give it to you this morning. Okay? Her spirit goes out from you. And she said to the king, "It was true report I have heard in my own land on the acts and thy wisdom. How be it, I believe not the words until I came, and my eye had seen it, and behold, the half was not told unto me, the wisdom and the prosperity and the exceeds the fame of which that I've heard." She's saying, look, man, until I got in there, until I tasted and seen that the Lord was good, I couldn't comprehend it. But now I'm getting it, and now I'm understanding it. And whoa, my eyes are being opened, and my soul is rejoicing in the Lord my God. She is coming to know Jehovah. She is coming to know the Israelite God, the deliverer, the healer, the fixer-upper of all things broken. Happy are the men, happy are those servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear the wisdom of God. If you're out there this morning, and you don't know him, take a journey back to a little old church somewhere that you know in your mind or your spirit, or have church right where you're at. And bow your head, but remember the things formerly that were told to you about the God of heaven. Remember them. Why? Because if you can remember your past, you won't commit the same mistakes in your future. And he is the releaser and the eraser and eradicator of your shortcomings and mistakes. Because when you tell him you're sorry, it's not just forgiveness, but he removes it from your life forever and forgets it and places it what one would call past. But he has no beginning nor no end. So he just takes it away and makes those situations perfect for you. So if you're out there and you don't know him, just pause just a moment. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I've heard just a little bit, and my soul is stirred within me. God, I need you. I need your help, your wisdom, and your supernatural power. For I'm unhappy, God, in this life. But God, you said you would make me happy. Amen. Now, many of you just went through Christmas, and hopefully you were blessed enough to give gifts or had someone to give gifts to. Hopefully you're still happy the day afterwards. This is the day after Christmas. I imagine there are some out there that aren't so happy. They've overextended themselves. He's a replenisher of your supplies. Turn to him. There are some out there, though, that were very lonely during this Christmas season. They didn't have anyone. If you have somebody, you were blessed. he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end." That means that great God of heaven sees your loneliness. Here's your despair. Here's the cry of your pain and your suffering, and knows exactly where you're at, and stands longingly want to deliver you and give you happiness and to give you peace, because that's who he is. In control of all things, but allows some things to come that your eyes may be opened and his ways enlightened unto you and his name exalted as you surrender to it. He goes on to say, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delights in thee," or the Sheba saying this, "to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Even therefore made he thee king to do the judgment and justice." God wants to make you queens and queens and kings this morning. Whether you're male or whether you're female, I'm going to interject this. I believe that's all he ever planned on having, male and female. I am not making fun of anybody out there or saying anything against anybody out there that believe this day that there are more than one of two kinds, male and female. I'm just saying unto you, there is a more perfect and better way that you can walk in. And when you find him, you will have peace. You will know joy and you will know happiness. And you may have a battle coming, but you may be delivered instantly and not want the lifestyle you're living in. But he is the God that will bring you everything that you need in your life, regardless of who you are, regardless of your sex, regardless of your creed, or regardless of your color. He is your God and will be unchanging throughout eternity, God and God alone. And he makes the rules, and he's the final judge and will settle the decision once and for all. Come today, and all things can be forgiven and washed and made whole. And she gave the king, this struck me as God showed me this. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold. Now, I didn't do the math on that, but you can do that your own self and figure it out how much 120 talents of gold is. And it ain't something that I got. I can tell you that right now. I got silver and gold, but I got something more precious than silver or gold, and that's Jesus Christ. And spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King of Solomon. Why did she give them to Solomon? What caused her to want to give up her wealth, her gold, her spices, and her precious stones? I submit to you today, it was God Almighty that caused it. He moved over Sheba's heart, and she came. I'm taking you to Christmas Day, or the birth of Jesus right now, and slipping out from Sheba to Jesus. Who came to Jesus but wise men? What did they bring? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What did they do when they presented gold and frankincense and myrrh? They laid it at his feet and they worshiped him as the King of Kings and the God of all creation. Why did they do it? Because they were wise. You want to be wise? Lay your life, all that you've got, down at the feet of Jesus this morning. Give him a chance to step in and to create some things. He's no longer in a manger. He is supremely above all things. He reigns. Everything is held by the power of his might. The right hand of God. What is the right hand of God? Jesus Christ. The salvation to men Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. He ain't a whole bunch of gods. Why did he give it to the Jewish people? Because he was trying to give it to the world through the Jewish people and knew that they were a people diligent in their ways and would hold forth the word and not let it go out from them and destroy it because they wanted something. What did they want? They wanted to rule as kings and priests on the face of this earth. And he said, you can have that, but you're not going to get it reigning over man and causing this one to be a serf and this one to be that and that one to be the other and you be the king sitting up on a throne and you're doing this. He said, it ain't going to be that way. That's my place. I'm not going to surrender it to nobody else. I want to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. I just want you to serve me, and as you serve me, I will exalt you in due time and lift you up, and the world will see not you but me in you, and they will desire it just like Sheba did. Now, we got the gold, we got the frankincense, and we got the myrrh, but I got something even far greater, and that's going to come to you. And I entitled this morning, and God gave me the title to it, the best Christmas gift ever given to men. The day after Christmas. Why? Because that's when the best is yet to come last. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And you're getting the best of the best this morning of what God's got for you in the word that he's given to me. I looked at this, and I seen, as I began to look, the best gift came when the church was founded in the book of Acts, the second chapter. And Peter stood up, and he said, this is the Holy Ghost. This is the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can have it today, whoever you be. It don't matter where you come from. It don't matter if you got mamas. It don't matter if you got daddies. It don't matter where you're at. He's calling all men, your sons and your daughters. He is calling unto us. Then Peter said unto them, what did he say? He said, repent. He said, be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the fire, the anointing of God to do things supernaturally. Oh, you might have some abilities on your own, and you might be able to build and make skyscrapers to the sky, or make your money seemingly prosper and make a good decision here or a good decision there. But put it in the hands of God, and you will multiply 100-fold and 100-fold over again, because he is the God alone. Worship him and see what he wants to do for you. Give it to him and let him give you your heart's desire. And Philip, the Ethiopian, the Acts, the second chapter, he said, go forth into all of the world preaching the gospel. This was told to the disciples after they received their gift of the Holy Ghost. They did receive it. They did speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. He said, spread it abroad. He was already planned in a purpose to spreading it abroad. In the 8th chapter, woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. Maybe I might take you a little longer than probably you're expecting today. But I got to get this out. I want you to know what he showed me. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, Acts 8 chapter, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man, an Ethiopian, and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem, what? For to worship. A key ingredient. How did an Ethiopian know to come to Jerusalem to worship? I submit to you fact, historically, it came because of Sheba, and it was noise to her people about the God of Israel. It was passed on through revelation that Solomon had imparted to her, to the Ethiopian people. And now, here's an Ethiopian Jew. And he is predominantly, if we know anything about the Ethiopians, they are beautiful black people. And now the Ethiopians are coming to Jerusalem to worship because the word that they had heard prior, just like the Magi knew from what was handed down to them in the covenant relationship given, then they went out and spread forth on the face of the earth. They came because their great, great, great grandfather had told them about the God of heaven. And though they went forth, they came through the lineage of their children back and brought gifts unto God. And now the same thing is happening here. They're coming to present themselves as living sacrifice to worship Yahweh, the King of the Jews. And as they came, something happened here this day that is of very most importance. They had charge of all of her treasure. They came to worship and was returning, sitting in his chariot. He read Isaiah here, but actually it's Isaiah. And that particular portion of scripture that he has been reading is in Isaiah 53. Who hath believed the report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of his peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Not can be, not shall be, but we are healed. Healed in body, healed in mind, healed in soul, healed in spirit, lifted up from the lowly places of the earth and sit as kings on high places with God Almighty, because we know who he is and we worship him as God. And this is what this is what the Ethiopian eunuch is reading. But this is where God sent Philip. Why did God send Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch that day? Read the story for yourself. Because God knew the affairs of man. He knew what was going to happen in Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant was resting in Jerusalem. Solomon built a place for it in the temple. But sometime through the history, the Ark disappeared. And nobody really can put a finger on where the Ark of the Covenant went. Some say it went up to heaven. Do your own search and find out. History records the Ark going down in to Ethiopia through Candace's children. When they went back to worship, God put it in their hearts to take the Ark of the Covenant from the Jews, because they were fixing to go into captivity because they would not listen and they would not do what he told them to do. And they lost the Ark, the covenant relationship with God. And it was given to another people who they didn't esteem as great, but Solomon had in his heart, because God put it in Solomon to love Sheba. And he fell deeply in love with her and had a relationship with her and bore a child according to the Hebraic and according to the things. And that child returned again. And it was with that child, the ark. And if you really look and study, you're going to find out that they believe that they know where the ark rests in Ethiopia. And it's in an Ethiopian Christian church. Scriptures teach us that the ark is coming back into Jerusalem. They'll bring their gift back to Jerusalem. When do you think that's going to be? When God deals with the Jewish nation again. And when he turns his eyes and his favor toward them, he's going to do the supernatural thing. When he sits as a king of kings and lord of lords on the throne in Jerusalem and rules out from Jerusalem, and peace is upon the earth because he is sitting, coming again. My God is coming back again. He's coming in the clouds of glory. And those that know him will be changed. And in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, they shall be with him. And some will not taste death, but they will march right in behind behind him as kings and queens, and they will set up and work with him in the temple. That's you and that's me. And we're going to be working with the Jews that never knew God before, and they couldn't understand him. But now they're going to see him, and they'll know who he is. Jesus Christ is their God. And you're going to expound on to them the New Testament teachings, and you're going to show them great things and expound on them. And this is the preliminary of where you're fixing to go and what you're fixing to do. And you're facing these torments and these afflictions and these happenings because God is preparing you for the greatest revival that has ever hit the face of the earth. It's going to happen with Jews. It's going to happen with Gentiles. You're going to march. You've been marching just like Brother Al preached around the mountain so long, and you felt like you don't know what's going on, and you're confused in your mind and your understanding. You can't understand because he's still in control, but it's not what you're thinking. Don't think like the Jews that he's coming in one certain way, because when he comes, just be ready when he comes. Just get ready, church, because if you're ready when he comes, you will do as he said he's doing. But also, he gave gifts to men after they received the power of the Holy Ghost. To do what? To be witnesses upon the face of the earth and to tell them about him. And that is exactly what Philip did when he left Jerusalem in a great desire to tell the people what God was doing. And the angel sent him to Ethiopian, and the Ethiopian took it down into Jerusalem. They come back again. Why? Because it's written that all of Jerusalem is going to worship him and believe in him. And they're going to believe because we have prompted them by our good works and deeds through the power of the Holy Ghost to know him as the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. It's not happening circumstance. It's all laid out there for you to see, to understand. It's not a secret. Anyone can find this stuff out that hungers and thirsts after it. It's yours to be had. No matter who you are, you might think you're the lowest degree of scoundrel on the face of the earth, but he says, you're my chosen. I choose you. You might think you're a scratched up glass that the light don't shine through and you can't even see the beverage no more. But he says, you're a chosen vessel, a royal priesthood. Let my spirit come in you and watch and see what we will do together. Go ahead, read it for yourself. He expounds on in the book of Isaiah. He tells him who God is, who Jesus Christ was and is and shall always be. And then the next thing is pretty cool. Here in the middle of the desert, they're traveling down. Well, look, surely you told me about baptism. Here's a whole lot of water. What's stopping me from being baptized? His words were, hey, believe on the Lord Jesus with all of your heart and confess him as the King of Kings. And he can be baptized, and you can wash away your sins through the name of Jesus, and you can be born again by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of your testimony will be secure forever because you're still writing the book of Acts. It ain't over yet. You are the epistle written, and it's being written in your heart by your lives and by your submission. Guess what? He baptized him. Did the man, Philip, get the glory? No. He baptized him, and as soon as he came out of the water, he's gone. Where did he go? I imagine he's all freaked out. That guy just baptized me in the name of Jesus. I feel so good. I feel so light. I'm free. I'm free. He was probably splashing the water, kicking it dry if you've seen him when they get baptized in the name of Jesus. But all of a sudden, he's standing alone, just like the man that had the devils out of him, cast out of him at the Sea of Gadarene. The man with the legion of devils. Jesus tells him, now, he said, let me go with you. He said, no, no, no. You stay right here and you tell it. You tell them about your life and where you came from. And the Ethiopian eunuch was left standing there alone. And Philip was caught away in the Holy Ghost to the next revival.
To be caught away with Jesus, there's no place like it. There's no place I'd rather be. The old song says, no place I'd rather be than in the hands of God and walking and talking in the Spirit. I've seen great men weep before God. Great men of strong political power and clout already. I've talked to them and watched the tears roll down their face. Why? Because they know that God is real. And if you'll show them a real God and if you'll tell them in all earnesty where you came from, and don't be ashamed of where you come from. It is the word of your testimony, bought by the blood of the Lamb. No harm will come to you. You'll be like the three Hebrew children. For two in your testimony, they may kick you out of some places, but if they kick you out of one, God's going to send you to another. And in that other place, you'll be more prosperous and more healthy and more wealthy than you ever were before, because you stood up for Him. And if you'll stand up for Him, He'll stand up for you. Hallelujah. So much more I'd like to share with you, but so little a time. I would like to tell you, when the Gentiles first heard it, and go on to you and tell you about chapter 10 of Cornelius, but for lack of time I won't. My wife's over here already saying, Ed. Why? Because I can't testify, preach, or teach enough about the one in whom I love and serve. He is more precious to me than gold and rubies or diamonds. I'll forsake all to try to follow after Him. I don't know if I've got the courage like the apostles did to go through those tormenting deaths that they did. One of them felt so unworthy he wouldn't even be crucified on a cross. He said, no, you can put me upside down. Put my head to the ground that's cursed, because He's done so much for me. I stand in awe of Him. That's me today. But I'm telling you, you can know this God and know His ways. They're far above understanding. There are so many riches untold and so much peace. Many don't know the peace of God. You haven't had it. You don't know what it's like. Many were without families this time of the year. You didn't receive gifts. And God's saying, come unto me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will give you my peace. I will be the true gift of Christmas to you. I will give you so much for so little you got to offer me. And though I am great and you are so small, I will call you my child and coddle you in my arms and wrap you in my Spirit. And my Spirit and me will lead and guide you to all true paths of righteousness. And I will be unto you a God, a daddy, and you will be unto me a child. Come, partake of that I got to give you. Because I know your beginning and I know your ending. But I got plans for you for the good and not the bad. I got some things that no one can show you, and some moments to show you things that no one can teach you, if you will let me be your God today. Heavenly Father, I gave them your word. Now I pray, dear God, give them of your Spirit. Give them wisdom. Give them understanding. They may not have a lot to offer God. In their eyes, they may be nothing. But God, you gave so much so that they could be here, so that they could hear this word today. God, you said in your scriptures, God, you told them in John 3:16, whosoever believeth, God, let them read it. Let them see it. Speak to them purposely, God, this day, this time. You know, God, your word. They've seen it in the ball games. People, God, randomly holding it up. God, let them read it and understand how much you love us all. That you gave your only begotten Son. That whoever, God, they are that believes on you can have eternal life. This is my prayer this day, O God, that eyes would be enlightened, that they would see, God, your future and understand your plan for them and for this world. Jesus, in your lovely name. Amen.